Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Vineyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Yesterday, we reported that Joe Scott, pro-life activist in Colorado, has been convicted and is scheduled for a sentencing on June 2nd. And she was convicted for talking to a woman outside of an abortion clinic trying to save unborn children. I have in studio today, appropriately following up that news, a Christian man who is a godly husband, father of a homeschool family, Mark Augenbaugh. Mark, welcome to Bob Vineyard Live.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Mark, could you spell your name? I know how to spell your name, but just so the audience...
Okay, it's A-U-G-H-E-N-B-A-U-G-H.
All right, Mark Augenbaugh. And Mark, I know of your family going back, I think over 20 years. You guys have been active testifying for the Lord and trying to protect the innocent for a long time in Colorado.
Started out in Chicago about 27 years ago, over 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Started going in, out in front of the clinics.
Wow.
I was doing sidewalk counseling over 27 years ago.
Wow. And you're friends with the ministry that we love and appreciate, Missionaries to the Preborn.
Yes. And my dearest friends, Matt Truella and all those people that are committed there, Jim Sederna and others that there, I'm good friends with them.
If you talk to Matt Truella in the near future, please tell him that I said hello and invite him on the show. Haven't had him on the show in a long time.
I invite him out here all the time.
Good. And we could, of course, interview him by phone, but he heads up, I think, the most well-run, well-organized street ministry in the country for telling the public about this wicked injustice and calling people to repent.
Yeah, they've closed down, I think, 7 out of 9 abortuaries in the Milwaukee area.
Wow.
For them being just faithful throughout the years.
Mm. And throughout the many years, he really has been. So, Mark, your ministry here in Colorado, I know you are passionate about exposing this wickedness. Could we talk about that first? And then I'd like to talk about some of the tools that you use to do that and let people know how they can help, because there are people in Colorado, I think, even after all these months and years of fighting against child killing, there are people who are still not actively engaged. So how about the passion to expose the truth?
Okay, first I would like to read a quote in The Press and Abortion from 1838 to 1988 by Marvin Olasky.
Hmm.
I'm just going to read this quote from actually a Denver physician. This is back in 1880.
Whoa.
He said, "Publicity, let the people know what is going on around them. There is no remedy for a great social secret sin like exposure. Drag it out into the lurid light of day. Do not cover it up and hide it beneath an assumed modesty so shallow that every eye can peep through it and see false morality beneath." He was speaking of abortion, where earlier he was quoted as calling it child murder, a brutal and revolting act, and the law that provides a punishment for it when it can be proved. A killer of an unborn child is as much a murderess as one who kills it a few minutes after it's born. That was in 1880.
1880. Mark, the New York Times, I wasn't alive back then, but I have read that the New York Times led a nationwide campaign to make sure that every state in America had a law banning abortion.
Yes, this book is really good for that. It quotes a lot of those articles way back then.
Mm. And Olasky, he's with World Magazine and was with the King's College until very recently. So could you give me the title of that book again?
It's called The Press and Abortion, 1838 to 1988 by Marvin Olasky.
Wow. All right. So, and that seems also to be a biblical principle. It's not only a doctor from Denver in 1880 who said these things, that you need to expose this wickedness, but it's also in God's word. That might be where he got it from.
Yeah, I would hope so. I hope that he knew God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Proverbs 24:10-12, lots of people like to quote 11-12. I like to include 10 in it because it says, if you're in faint in the day of distress, your strength is limited. Mm-hmm. And to me, many of the Proverbs are kind of like duh things. They're stating the obvious.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything in the day of distress, well, obviously your strength is limited because you're not doing anything. It says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? I think that for me, my passion isn't so much, I hope I don't offend by people by saying this, I'm not really into babies. but I don't think that we should kill them. And my passion isn't so much that I love babies and I want to stop abortion.
Right.
My passion more lies with the church and the blood guilt that I believe that is on the church. And Isaiah 1 really, I think, speaks to that. I think it really shows very clearly that blood guilt has a negative impact on one's relationship with God and results in hindered prayers. God says then, he speaks of all the religious things they were doing. And he says, all those things are making me sick. They're a stench to my nostrils.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't hear your prayers.
Mm.
And, he speaks, first of all, of the innocent bloodshed in their land. And I just don't think that we can imagine that we're pleasing to God in the midst of the worst Holocaust the world has ever known when we don't even lift a finger to stop it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And it's hard for us to understand the long-term consequences of a woman who decides to kill her baby and the husband or the father who participates and then the nation that allows that. But God, he can see the long-term consequences. He knows the destruction, the corruption that just erodes from within the individual, the family, and the nation. And so God hates sin because sin destroys us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't often see it. We tend to be superficial as human beings.
Yes, I think particularly the sin of innocent bloodshed.
Mm.
You know, I think that when a pastor preaches on the Good Samaritan analogy, for instance, and a depiction of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, and then he doesn't even mention the preborn in his nation, where you have the most innocent, most helpless people in your society, in your culture, are being murdered, and it seemed to me a very apt application of that.
Yeah.
And to not make those applications, I think, further dehumanize the preborn.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah, the early part of that book, God is really sharing his heart with us. And God, at one point in chapter 5, he says, do you realize how much I've done? I'm paraphrasing him. Do you realize how much I have done to try to show you the way? And yet people just spurn his love, spurn his concern, and they mock him. But God will not be mocked. Ultimately, we're the ones who pay the price.
Right. All those scriptures, oftentimes I see, follow Romans 1, when we reject what we know of God, and then he turns people over to the depravity of their mind to do things which are unnatural. I mean, you can't get much more unnatural than that, is abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty unnatural, you know, thing for a woman to do.
Right, right.
So I think that also, you know, follows. We go to the streets and we hand out these, we hold signs, pretty much trying to follow the pattern that Matt has done in Milwaukee with missionaries to preborn. And he's taken tours throughout the nation doing this. But we hand out these, we hold the signs of aborted babies and live babies to educate the public on it. It's mind-boggling to me, the ignorance of the public. When I was in grade school, I could go through the Science and Industry Museum in Chicago, Illinois, and I could see the same information that we're giving out now. Mm. They had babies just from days after conception all the way through 9 months in big formaldehyde jars that were just from miscarriages.
Miscarriages, right.
And all the same information was below those way back then.
Yeah.
I'm 49 years old. That was 40 years ago when I could see that same information. We're providing to these people now.
And today people don't know, and a large part of it is they don't want to know because they advocate the right, supposedly the right, to kill these babies. Planned Parenthood literally rips their arms and legs off as they dismember children in their mother's womb. So people don't want to know. You give out this literature, Life Before Birth, just a beautiful, I'm looking at a copy right now. You've got a copy there, but a beautiful tract showing people, reminding them of how these precious kids are developing in the womb.
Yes, and we also hand out this other one called What Are You Worth? Mm. I had a little bit longer version of it originally, but Matt and I got together and
this is a edited. More hard-hitting version of a typical pro-life track.
It is, but it also ties the gospel in. What I love about it is it's very small. You can stick it in your pocket,
right?
So it's not cumbersome to give away.
Mm-hmm.
And we tie the gospel in with it. And we also put on there's websites on here, missionariestothepreborn.com, abort73.com, mm-hmm. allbehonest.com. And on the other one, the Life Before Birth, we put cornerstonedenver.com. And that those websites, you can open up a whole wealth of information from those and those links.
Now, abort73.com, I was just on that website earlier today. I was at American Right to Life's website, and they have an article on the Hippocratic Oath. And in their article, they link to abort73.com. Who created that website? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I know it's very good, very educational.
Yeah, it's a great site.
They also have Justice for All. Their website's jfaweb.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, I might put a plug in this for later, but they have a training here in Denver on April 8th, and then an outreach on the college campus here in Denver on the 11th and the 12th.
I've attended their training here in Denver. They're a national ministry. They go to universities, college campuses all over the country. They erect enormous displays, just enormous, typically in the center of the campus. They get permits. They're invited on the campus by a local student group or a professor. And their training is so tremendous, Mark. I took one thing I learned in one of their classes, and there was a guy down at Metro State College, and he was literally running by the display, and he was angry. He was obviously late for a class. And he said, "That is evil," as he's running. So I did what I was taught by JFA. I asked why. They teach to ask why.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fight. You don't have to condemn. You don't have to do those things. Some people think you got to do that at every moment. I just said, why? 2 hours later, he came back and he found me there and he said, "You asked me why. I wanted to talk." And we talked for a half hour.
Praise God.
So,
yeah,
very helpful.
Very, very often we have opportunities to interact with people and share the gospel with them. Even just, on the street, the warmer the weather is, the easier it is. But, you know, I think it becomes that the gospel is intricately related to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that you can't treat preborn babies as if they're of no worth at all.
Mm.
And then expect people to pay attention to you, I don't think, when you tell them that God loves them and that God made them uniquely different from all other creation and, Christ came to die for them. That gives them value and worth. On one hand, you're saying, oh, yeah, you're worth a lot to God. He'll send his own son to die on the cross for you. And
but
yet,
you could kill. We don't care. We don't care. We're tolerant. We don't care if you kill these children who we say that Jesus died for.
Exactly.
It's a hypocrisy. The reason abortion is wrong is because God made us in his image, in his likeness, and he said, do not kill the innocent. That's why abortion is wrong, because it's a baby. It's always wrong to kill an innocent baby because God said so, because the baby is made in his image and likeness.
Right, and that's what gives us our value as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Completely set apart from all other creation. We are above all other creation. God didn't come to die. Jesus Christ didn't come to die on the cross for whales or baby seals or anything else.
I became a Christian, Mark, in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was decided. And in my early years of getting involved in the pro-life movement, I heard from people who told me And they explained that they were told that we're not going to mention God. We don't want to talk about God. We're going to win this based on the laws of science. And I had such a negative reaction to that because the laws of science don't talk about right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Science can't say it's wrong to lynch a black man or to slaughter the Jews. Science doesn't address those issues.
Right. And even a democracy, they might vote for that and say it's fine.
Mm.
You get a majority rule, well, that's fine to kill black people then or kill,
yeah,
you know, Jewish people, as long as the majority is good with it.
Right. Right. So right and wrong comes from God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not from science. And hate to mention a second time a website, but AmericanRightToLife.org/Einstein. There's a really fun article with Albert Einstein making this point that the laws of science cannot tell us what is right and wrong. And he was mystified by the universe and reality because he couldn't understand why we human beings could comprehend it. And that's because he didn't believe in a personal God, with the creation as a product of the mind of God. And that's where the disconnect was for him. So as pro-lifers, what an opportunity we have. As we're saving babies, we preach the gospel. And as we preach the gospel, we're reminding people that it is murder to kill an innocent child.
Right. We can use science. We use medicine and we use science to support the humanity of the child, that that's a human being.
Yeah, it's living.
But that's kind of like a duh thing at this point, too, because we've known that, like I say, for 40 years. That's been out there that we know that.
Well, so, yeah, published. And also you go back to the Hippocratic Oath. Hippocrates said that, you know, I will not. In his pledge, you don't perform euthanasia. You don't provide an abortion. And you don't have sexual relations with a patient. Modern medical schools, they've done away with those.
Right.
They ignore those. But go way back to Moses, and the unborn child was a person.
Right. I want to have time to read this track, so we'll make sure we do that before it's over. But
let's do it.
I wanted to first mention the again, back to my thing is really, my passion is really with the church and wanting the church to repent of all this innocent bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
And really love their neighbors themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about seeing people doing things. You know, when I witness young people, I talk to young Christian people all the time. I ask them all the time, well, what are you doing to fulfill Ephesians 2:10? Because we're all familiar with 2:8-9.
Yeah, right.
It's used, it's really used and abused in evangelism, you know, but 2:10, well, that's what you're saved for, to do the good works which he's prepared in advance for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in Acts 17:6, it was spoken of the early Christians then. They said, these people have turned the world upside down. I want to know where those people are. I want to hang with those people. You know, when I hang out with Matt Torella and people from Milwaukee, I feel like I'm hanging with people that are turning the world upside down,
right,
and I enjoy being with them.
Right.
Tozer wrote, we love the old saints, missionaries, martyrs, and reformers, our Luthers, Bunyans, Wesleys, and Asburys. He goes on to say, we will write their biographies, reverence their memories, frame their epitaphs, and build their monuments. We will do anything except imitate them. We cherish the last drop of their blood, but watch carefully over the first drop of our own.
Wow.
2 Timothy 3:12 says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
We can avoid persecution if we practice it long enough, and if we deny all of our neighbors, if we don't love our neighbors ourselves when it comes to being too expensive to love them. It costs me too much to love the preborn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it costs too much in the 40s to love your Jewish neighbor.
Yeah.
And it costs too much for us to love our preborn neighbor now, and that's what we need to repent of, really.
And our black neighbor.
Yes.
In many parts of the world.
Yeah. And that's the same thing. We extol those people, say, oh, those are great heroes of the faith. You know, we talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer or Corrie Ten Boom.
Mm-hmm.
It turns my stomach, honestly, when I'm in a church and they talk about those people as heroes of the faith.
And they do nothing about the injustice around them at that moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, total disconnect with the Holocaust they live in.
Mark, when I learned about World War II, growing up, I prayed. I asked God, Lord, I hope I'm the kind of person that would have done something. Then I found out about abortion, and I realized this Holocaust is happening right now. I have to do something or I'm a hypocrite. God help me to do something.
Yes.
Mark, I want to if we have time in a moment, we'll take a call. But first, how do people contact you and when do you go out on the streets? And then let's look at this track.
Well, I guess I'm a little hesitant, but I'll give out my email address on okay. On the air here. It's Mark Augenbaugh. It's MarkAugenbaugh.
Yeah.
At yahoo.com.
All right.
You can email me and tell me that you want to be informed on when we're going and where, and I'll put you in a category and I'll just send it out.
Do you have my email ID on that list that you send out?
I think I do.
Bob@kgov.com. And especially, I would want to normally, but since you're on the show, I'm going to make a commitment, Mark, that I'm going to join you in your next or one of your next events. So when are they normally?
Saturday from noon to 2, noon to 2 p.m., and we'll be at Colorado Boulevard and Mexico Avenue this Saturday.
Colorado Boulevard and Mexico.
We have sometimes Christian people come along and offer to join us also. And we're slowly growing, and that's why I'm praying that we'll just keep growing and growing. We have plenty of signs.
That's South Colorado, right?
Yes.
Just a little bit north of I-25?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And we counted the cars for a minute there and went by just in one direction. And by that, we estimated that very conservatively 10,000 people see our signs when they come by in that 2-hour period.
Saturday, 10,000
and maybe as much as 30,000.
And there is literature that when people are available to hand out literature, then that spreads the word also.
Absolutely. We need more and more people, really.
Yeah,
we need more people.
That, right.
I'm kind of scary, so people won't take it from me as easily as they will some other people.
Well,
so.
Right. I'm in my 50s. When a 50-year-old guy is trying to hand something to somebody stopped in traffic, they roll the windows up.
Right, exactly.
But younger people, gals, moms, they have a much higher success rate handing out literature.
Right, exactly.
So we need help.
Do you want me to read this now, Bob?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is a piece that we hand out. It's just titled, What Are You Worth? And it has a picture of an 8-week preborn baby in the womb. So not aborted. This is a baby in the womb alive. The notion that our worth is defined by personal looks, assets, and occupations is preached by our culture continuously. The Bible, however, teaches that you have great worth simply because you were created in the image of God. Your worth is further seen in that God demonstrated his love by sending his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. Why did Jesus die on the cross? We have all sinned and violated God's law. We are therefore deserving of death, as the just punishment of sin is death. Jesus, however, died in our place. If we will repent of our sin and believe in him, we can have forgiveness of our sin and obtain right standing with God.
All right, and that's the first side of the track.
That's the first side, and on the bottom of that, there's to learn more, go to seekgod.com or mercyseat.net.
Okay.
And then on the other side, we have a picture at the bottom. It says a picture is worth 1,000 words, and there's a picture of an aborted baby.
Yes.
And it says on the top, shocking horror of abortion. In our nation, preborn children are viewed as worthless. In 1973, the Supreme Court legalized their killing. Since then, over 50 million have been brutally and unjustly murdered. Is a child conceived in the womb of a famous actress worth more than the child conceived in the womb of a woman on welfare? What if that child was conceived as a result of rape? The Bible teaches that all people, born and preborn, have worth because they are created in the image of God. These preborn babies are people for whom Christ died. Their murder is a violation of God's law.
Wow.
And then we have three now, websites on there for them.
All right. And Mark, we're about out of time. I am going to make every effort to be there this Saturday. You made it as easy as could be, Mark. It's this Saturday at noon at Colorado Boulevard in Mexico, just north of I-25. And signs, I have a sign or two, but you got signs?
We have plenty of signs.
You got plenty of signs. Literature?
Plenty of literature.
Literature, you got plenty of literature. So that's pretty thrilling. Your email address, markaugenbaugh@yahoo.com. That's for folks to come on out. That's for folks to get reminders of future events. How often do you go?
We go every week.
Every week.
Weather permitting, every week. Mm. I've made a personal commitment to be in the first and third Saturday because I'm outrageously busy, and so mm-hmm. I have to make a realistic commitment
right.
to that. But every week we'll go out somewhere. If people wanted to make that same commitment, the first and third Saturday of each month.
First and third Saturday, and at the same location.
We switch locations every month.
Okay.
And we'll let you know where the next one will be as we approach then.
All right. Well, that is very encouraging. Thank you, Mark, so much for joining me and for being a godly husband, father, having a homeschool family. Thank you for being part of the fabric of the body of Christ here.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate that. Our website is kgov.com. We need your help to keep going. If you can come on out Saturday, hey, we're concerned about Joe Scott being convicted of these trumped-up charges. This is a way to take maybe anger or being upset and put feet to it and make a difference. If you've never done anything like this ever, what a great opportunity. Come on out. Guess what? I bet you'll have a good time because I've gone out 500 times and I've had a wonderful time in the Lord with other believers every time, time after time. So come on out if you can. And at our website, kgov.com, we have a store. The store is filled with Bible resources, ways to educate yourself on the pro-life battle. And not only can you learn and hopefully become more like the Lord as we study the Bible, but also, you'll be supporting this outreach. Bob and Yurt Live, we don't have a foundation behind us. We don't have a pile of money that we just draw from every month. We are on the air because of people who support this ministry. Some people subscribe to a monthly video we send out, a topical video, our Bible study albums. They download our Bible study albums. And if you can help in some way, it would be such a thrill. Our phone number is 800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. And our website is kgov.com. May God bless you.